columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
It's time to step in the fan's film room, analyzing game tape on the 2020 Broncos, just like Alex Gibbs talking about Mark Schlereth.
That guard did not cut, and I promise you, he got chatted with. That fat ass needs to get his feet moving better than that. And I promise you, when he came off that field, I ripped his
here to break down the film. It's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
It's November. There's wildfires in California. The game is scheduled to be in Mexico, but because of turf reasons, it's moved to the LA Coliseum, which is sold out after tickets were not on sale all that long. So one of the most exciting environments I ever recall for watching an NFL regular season game, with the 9-1 Rams hosting the 9-1 Chiefs. This one was one for the ages, as the Rams would beat Patrick Mahomes 54-51.
Goff on first down. Everett in stride. Wow! Touchdown Rams! Taken down. Ball is loose. Picked up. Ebukam. Scoop and score. Rams. Mahomes. Here he comes. And he gets a strip sack again. Ball is loose. Still loose. Wind it up. Downfield, a wobbler is intercepted. It is picked off. Marcus Peters, the former Chief. Mahomes. He escapes that. Then launches it downfield. And it's intercepted by Joyner. Can you believe this?
Man, so many crazy things. How about little stuff?
Is that
stuff
a machine
like
gun? What the heck was that?
I think they were fireworks, but hey, it's you know, that's a tough neighborhood there with the Coliseum.
Mm.
Little stuff, like both kickers missed an extra point in the first half, making it 23-23 at halftime. Patrick Mahomes threw 6 touchdowns, but was responsible for 5 turnovers, which was kind of nuts, and they still scored 51 points. Both teams barely cared about running the ball. The Chiefs had 20 rushing attempts, and the Rams had 21. I mean, this was a football game from the future, Tyler. In fact, a lot of people after this game thought, well, is this the way the NFL is actually going to be?
Man, this game was a lot of fun to watch. I remember it so vividly, sitting there on my couch. I couldn't turn away for 2 seconds. I loved every last second of it. I know that there were a lot of football purists out there. They were like, oh, we don't want college football in the NFL. And I can't say that I want to see every game with 50-some points scored. But, wow, was that exhilarating. What did we learn from it? Well, I wish I could give you some major takeaway on what the Rams did to beat the Chiefs. Well, they scored 200 points. That's how they beat the Chiefs, you know? And that was even with Mahomes throwing a couple of interceptions late in the game.
Right. Let's go to that moment then. Because this was a back and forth game where Mahomes throws he had an interception taken back for a touchdown. And he had a strip sack fumble taken back for a touchdown. So the Rams actually scored points defensively to get to that 54. But I do want to talk about the final 2 minutes of the game, okay? Because it's 51-54, and Tyler, the Chiefs did have the ball twice. Twice they had the ball with timeouts, both times, with less than 2 minutes to go.
Yeah.
Okay, how did the Rams stop them when theoretically they couldn't stop them in that situation the entire game? How did they do it then?
They had good pressure on Patrick Mahomes, man. I thought the Rams' defensive line did a very nice job. They had great edge pressure going on throughout the game. And, you know, I even saw Mitchell Schwartz have some moments where he normally doesn't give up any pressure. He gave up some himself. You know, when you play Patrick Mahomes, here's the ultimate question. Do you blitz or do you sit back? Right?
Do you take
the heat, put the heat on him, or do you just try to sit back and cover him all day?
Great question.
Wow, dude, what a catch 22. And I tell you, it's a difficult decision, but I know if I was playing the Kansas City Chiefs, I'd sit back all day long. I'd come up with as many different variations of zone coverage as I possibly could, because when you get in man, and when you blitz, the majority of the time you have to get in some sort of man coverage. Now, you definitely can have zone blitzes. Don't hear me wrong. But the majority of the time you're going to end up in some sort of man coverage. And when you go man against Patrick Mahomes, dude, that's just asking for a disaster. You telling me that Tyreek Hill can't beat man coverage when Patrick Mahomes scrambles around for 4 or 5 seconds back there? There's nobody on God's green earth that can cover those guys long enough in man coverage and hold up. So I'd sit back in zone. I would count on my pass rushers to get home and not even necessarily get home. Matter of fact, you know what? I wouldn't even tell them to try to get home. I would coach my edge rushers to box him in. So you're going bull rush, play after play after play. And when you think you're not going to go bull rush, you need to change up, you're going to go bull rush, okay? You just got to pin him into the pocket and hope that some way, somehow, you can corral this guy. Because if you go over the top and you try to go for that strip sack, all right, well, all he's got to do is step up, go underneath, and scramble out to the right side and throw a bomb for 80 yards. So It's a catch 22. It's a tough decision, but I just have to bank on my pass rushers getting home.
Yeah, both of those interceptions with less than 2 minutes were in a kind of a deep zone, actually. And one was Ekuban, who, what a game this dude had. Returned a fumble that was caused by Aaron Donald, but returned a fumble for a touchdown. Got an unbelievable interception where he stuck his arm out and somehow caught the ball and then barreled over Tyreek Hill and Patrick Mahomes into the end zone, and then forced pressure, like got his hand in the face of Mahomes to basically force one of the two interceptions. And you're right, it was just that basic pressure getting to him in a deep zone. And what they were saying on the broadcast was, well, with the Chiefs, sometimes you're gonna have to be all right, Tyler, giving up what they said, two chains. Basically 20 yards.
Yeah, right.
And because they'll screen you to death. How about that middle screen to Travis Kelce? How cool was that play?
A jailbreak screen.
That is such, you want to describe that play? Because that is so cool looking.
Well, if I remember correctly, D-Mac, it's basically right up the middle, right? So it's not like to the side. It was not a running back that's trying to get to the hash and get outside. No, this is it's a little bit of a different variation of a screen where you try to vacate everybody out to the perimeters, and then you've got one little soft spot right there in the middle. Every offensive lineman lets their man beat him, and they all get out, try to get in front of Travis Kelce, and you've got three or four blockers in front of him, and it's really just them coming up with the linebacker and the safety, and if you get one block, you're home free.
Such a cool play. You don't see it very often, but man, that was, and they were throwing screens left and right, and boy, you do see Tyreek Hill, like they put him in every situation. When I'm looking at Tyreek Hill, and I know it's not fair to think of KJ Hamler like Tyreek Hill, but holy cow, if he could be anything like that, that would be
yeah, of
awesome.
Course. Of course.
Because he's useful.
I'm not trying to knock on KJ Hamler here. I'm really not. He's got a very exciting film out there from Penn State, but I wouldn't hold your breath, man. How many teams have gone chasing after the next Tyreek Hill? How many teams have gone after the John Ross or whatever it might be, trying to get some speed, and it just doesn't translate. I mean, Tyreek Hill,
it's not just, I mean, yes, he's unbelievable.
He's got insane routes, man.
Unbelievable.
Insane routes.
Unbelievable.
And the real difficulty when you're playing the Chiefs, this happened to Chris Harris last year, they are just schoolyard. I mean, as schoolyard gets. hits. And as a DB, the only advantage you could possibly have is if is your film study. And the only advantage you could have is when you say, okay, formationally, they're going to run a crossing route here 60% of the time. You're going to try to break on it at the right time. But they'll run a crossing route, and all of a sudden they're halfway into it, and they'll turn it into a corner post. They'll turn it into something insane, right,
yeah,
that nobody's ever seen just going schoolyard on them, which is why I say man coverage is very, very difficult against the Chiefs.
I would inherently agree with you. Just you're going to take your two chains. It's going to happen anyways, right? It's all right. It must feel like a little embarrassing, right, to give up 15, 18 yards.
Not really. Not really. If you keep the Chiefs off the scoreboard, that's not embarrassing at all.
Yeah, because the Chiefs, first of all, they don't care about running the ball. Neither do the Rams in this particular game, and they got Todd Gurley. And the Chiefs have Kareem Hunt, but they're throwing to Todd Gurley, and they're throwing to Kareem Hunt. Mm-hmm. They don't care. They don't care about time of possession. They don't care about running the ball. They don't care. So you just got to kind of take – I'm learning with the Chiefs as we look at this. You kind of just got to take your lumps. But, you know, if you can force some turnovers, Tyler, they'll make them. He's human, relatively. You give yourself a shot. But if you just sit back and patty cake and just pussyfoot around and you don't go for it on fourth down where you should, if you don't stay aggressive against these guys, they're going to wallop you, man. They're going to beat you by 30.
Yeah, you know, any time you cross the 50, if you've got fourth of three or shorter, you just got to go for it. I mean, I don't care if you're on the 50-yard line.
Doesn't matter.
If you got fourth and two, you got to go for it, man. You got to get some points on the board.
Yeah, because what difference does it make if the Chiefs had the ball at the 45-yard line or the 15-yard line? It's only two plays, and they're at the 45-yard line. It doesn't matter. So stay aggressive.
I almost wonder if you should go for two every time you play, every time you score.
That is you know what? Let's get our data scientist on that.
Ooh,
that would be a good thing. All right. So, listen, it's a no offense Friday. We're happy to look at your takes. I thought this game was so freaking entertaining. By the way, weird game too, dude. Like 21 penalties in this game. This game took freaking forever.
I know.
I had a hard time watching this whole game. You know, just getting it in. It was the longest NFL game.
Well, that's why you got to watch the coaches film, D-Mac. That way you don't have to deal with that.
Oh, my God. Please, pass. I don't even know. All right, we take a break. We'll look at your texts, your calls. Top six is around the corner. It's a No Offense Friday right here on The Fan.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Let's go over some text. My man Lee wants to put Metallica's Black album.
Huh?
All right. I slipped there a little bit. Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, goodness.
Wow.
Wow.
Oh, there's a first for
it. It's really good, gosh, is what I meant to say.
Unbelievable.
No, I
Kevin, we good?
Yeah, I hope we're good. Sorry about that. Wow.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Boy.
But,
I mean, you have been working from home, D-Mac.
I know. A little too comfortable. I don't know. I just love Back in Black. I love Metallica's Black album, too. And a lot of people, you know, were ticked off at Metallica for that album because they used producer Bob Rock. And Bob Rock knew how to produce really textured, layered, cool-sounding songs. And Metallica was kind of like a thrash band, but Bob Rock was more rooted in just like heavy metal. And what he produced was amazing. But it definitely wasn't, you know, he was the best producer I think Metallica ever had. And I like that kind of, of course, people, a lot of people would be like, oh, of course, T-Mac, you like that kind of Metallica rather than, you know, Ride the Lightning or something like that. And I do. So what can I tell you? It's not that I don't like
yeah,
those
I mean,
early
definitely
stuff.
Good album. That's all I know.
It's an incredible album. I still will take Back in Black, though, song for song. But they're both great albums.
I mean, what do you think old Ragnar's listening to when he's barreling down that mountain on that bike, you know?
Dude, I don't know. You tell me, Ragnar. What would you prefer?
Well, between those two?
Yeah, man.
Oh, I would choose Metallica. Definitely. Definitely.
Maybe it's just got something to do with my age.
Maybe I don't know, but I'm definitely more of a Metallica guy. I'm not like a real hard rock guy in general. And 90% of the time when I'm riding, I'm listening to Professor Clough and Big O because that's usually the time that I'm riding.
I know that when I've gone to spin classes before in the past that they put on old replays of Sandy. You know, nothing gets you more fired up to go up that hill than Sandy calling a listener a moron.
I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I take my job very seriously, and I I don't want to miss out on any breaking news or anything when I'm on my bike. And so, you know, I'm a very loyal listener. I use the 104.3 The Fan app, which
there you
is fantastic.
Go. There you go.
Shout out, Raj. I hope you heard me with that that nice little promo.
Tyler, thank you. You inspired me to get back on my bike. 4 days in, took a digger today. Ride with Ragnar.
Wow, very, very cool. That means a lot. I appreciate you reaching out with that. Hope you're okay after taking that digger. That's very cool. We're going to get this little biker gang going. I tell you what.
I love it.
Rides with Ragnar, we're going to start debuting something here pretty soon, and we're going to get a little bit interactive with you guys, and we're going to do a little bit of a passport deal, and you guys can kind of ride along with me virtually. It'll be a lot of fun.
It's a No Offense Friday. No offense, D-Mac, but you're an idiot.
Do you want to say it, D-Mac? No, I mean, apparently we can.
No.
No.
Most of those tickets were free for people to come into the game at the Coliseum. Did I say something contrary to that?
Well, you said it was sold out.
Well, it wasn't sold out? Well, I mean, you could have free tickets and it still be sold out.
I think that's a technicality, gray area. Legally, you're going to win this battle. On the surface level, I think the texter has a point.
No offense. The Broncos are going to be better than you all think. Locke is the man. We're going 11-5, making the playoffs. And next year, we're winning the division. Troy from Westminster, mic drop.
Okay.
Hi, Troy.
Okay.
Well,
good
go.
For you, Troy.
That's cool.
Doesn't our Troy live in Westminster?
Right. Guys, data scientist is like the movie Weird Science. Put your perfect football player into the PC and bam! He walks out in a puff of smoke, Kenan Arora.
Oh, gosh. Is that what we're doing? Is that serious? This is genius. This is a good idea. I mean, create a Madden character. I mean, just use Tyler Plumbus. But, create any Madden character and you could build me every single time. Wow, yeah.
Right.
People get very sensitive when we're making fun of smart people.
Oh, they get so sensitive. Wow.
I mean, we can't make fun of smart people? What's wrong with that?
Yeah, look, I think people are getting – I mean, they're definitely getting me wrong on this. I think it's great the Broncos are making a deeper investment into – the analytics of things. I think that's absolutely fantastic. I remember years ago asking Josh McDaniels about analytics, and he looked at me like I seriously had three heads. He was like, what, you know, like it was like a crazy thing that I was asking him about.
Is that right?
Yeah. I said
that actually surprises me a little bit because.
Oh, I think he was full of crap. I think he was totally lying to me.
Okay.
I think he was always into it.
I mean, I can tell you this, D-Mac. I've never been on a team where. Man, you'd be in a team meeting, and he would have these call-out sessions where he'd be like, "Hey, hey, Corey, what's the slogan say above the door entering the cafeteria?" And if you don't know what it is, he'd like make you run a sprint at practice or something. But then on top of that, like with real football stuff, he'd be like, "Hey, Tyler, 3rd and 7, not 3rd and 5, 3rd and 7. Mm. What's the percentage of their second most utilized blitz?"
Really?
I'd be like, oh, my gosh. Wow. You know, I think they're going to come out in a 3-4. They usually use a saw. I think it's a saw. Yeah, saw. And but nope, that's not it. You used to have so much information in your head.
Yeah.
I was so prepared. I've never been so prepared for my opponents, but it was information overload that you're sitting there on third down now instead of just checking what your normal reads should be. Is the safety rotated? Is the corner stacked? You know, where's the blitz going to come from? No, you're just sitting there like going over all this information inside your head, and it was really just way too much stuff.
Yeah, hey, no offense to everybody on the text line that thinks we're ripping on them. We're not ripping on them at all. You're getting it wrong, Texter. What can I tell you? I think it's cool they have it. But if you can't see the humor that the Broncos are employing a data scientist as a job title, then you need to just lighten up on a Friday. I don't know what else to tell you.
D-Max, speak for yourself. Smart people scare me, and I'll make fun of them all day long.
Okay, well, good. We'll have your next chance to do that with the top six next.
Columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.